Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A reminder, Dara, normally 2:35. Dara's going to join us today at 1:35. We'll carry a portion of what the president has to say on his decision regarding the Paris climate deal, with almost all reports saying they expect him to say the United States is removing itself. Now, that's a complicated procedure, and he's going to say this and explain some caveats. So we're going to carry a portion of that, then we'll have a good guest reacting to it, 2:35. So I want to get to three items here in the first part of the first half hour before Dara starts talking about three Democrats, three decisions, and I want to see what people think. Franken has come to his decision regarding Kathy Griffin. Talked a lot about Kathy Griffin yesterday, criticized her heavily. Nobody was defending Kathy Griffin, said CNN was in the right. As Jason pointed out, he's 100% right. This wasn't exactly profiles in courage. This is one night. She blew it. Now, she backpedaled quickly, and it's up to you to decide if you think her apology was sincere. I think it was. I think it was remarkable that she thought that was going to work out in a way that was favorable by putting out the fake severed head. So Franken was under some pressure, Senator Franken, on whether he would appear with her at an upcoming event. And the senator is promoting his book, and we think we're going to have him on soon to talk about the book. Senator Franken said, not only did the comic ask for forgiveness, she begged for it. And I believe in forgiveness. Franken also said on CNN's New Day that he will still appear with Griffin in July at an event meant to promote his new book. If this would have been a comedian, and this is a rarity, okay? But if this would have been a comedian who was holding the fake severed head of Barack Obama, and Al Franken had a long, I don't know how long his history is with Kathy Griffin, but I think he does have a history with her. Adam, do you understand why Republicans are a little skeptical, saying that they're not convinced that Al Franken would show up if it was Barack Obama's fake severed head compared to Donald Trump's severed head? Because I'm skeptical that he would have showed up. Now, I get what he's saying because we had this conversation yesterday. Where is the forgiveness? Where is the right outrage? Where is the fake outrage? What should happen? I'm not asking for Kathy Griffin to be ostracized. If I'm a politician, would I want to be tied to Kathy Griffin in any tangential way right now? No. So maybe some people would say in that case, Adam, you know what? He's giving her more credit. He's judging the totality of her career as opposed to his one particular instance. And are we just going to see a divide here on this reaction? That Republicans are going to obliterate him like they normally are going to do, and Democrats are going to defend him like they normally would do. What do you think?
Yes to that, but I don't think that's a fair comparison anyway. I mean, if it would have happened, don't you need to ask the question if it were a Republican senator? Let's say Barack Obama is still president and you've got a Republican comedian. I can't really, like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah,
is, you know, doing a video with a dead Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And it's a Republican senator appearing, scheduled to appear. That, I think, I mean.
Well, let me look at it this way. Let's say it's Larry the Cable Guy. Okay. And I don't know how many other well-known. I mean,
I don't even know if Larry the Cable Guy is a Republican leading comedian.
Fill in the blank Republican comedian who Franken had some history with. Okay. And I don't know how extensive it is. and it was Barack Obama's severed head, and it was tied to his book. Does he show up?
No.
No, but I think Adam's right. I think it's
But I'm saying, though, if it's a Republican senator, though.
Right. If it's because of the party. If it was George Bush's severed head, I think Al Franken still goes.
Yeah.
He couldn't go to his own party's president's severed head.
That's where we're at now. It depends on whose head is severed on the politics now?
I think so, because he has to go back and be able to work with President Obama.
Isn't that embarrassing that we're at that point? Or we're okay with this now?
I think that's how it's always been. I don't think we're at that point.
I don't think at all.
My point is he has to go back and work with President Obama and president in his own party if this happens in 2010 or 2012. He isn't going to work with President Trump or President Bush. So I think that's why. I don't think it's because he's so partisan. I think it's because how do you go back after you just stood up with Kathy Griffith and say, hey, sorry, President Obama, but I did do that. So.
Yeah, but what I would say, and I get 100% what you guys are saying, I think there are many, many times in the decades before where there would have been people, number one, they're more willing, or we see more examples of they work together, and more examples of somebody saying, I'm just not going to do it. Kathy, I'm your friend. I'm not going to abandon you. But in this case, I'm not going to do it because it's sending the wrong message. Let's pause right here. Let's get to Adam's news. You want to react? You can. 81807. Here's Adam at 1:09. Okay, Blois Olson kind enough to check in, Adam, and he makes the point, too, that as a comedian, which Franken obviously was for decades, and he feels like, he's taken the slings and arrows at times and feels like that sometimes things were taken out of context. Now, I don't think this was taken out of context in any way, but as a comedian who knows what that's like, maybe there's more of an affinity in that particular way. A number of people also chiming in that they have been a part of multiple USO tours together.
And so, guess what? It's over a month away, the event still. And if we're still talking about Kathy Griffin a month from now,
something else
has
happened.
I'll eat your shoe.
It's okay if I do an event with David Duke today because, that was a story 15 years ago.
No, what I'm
right?
saying is that the story will, if most people will have forgotten.
Right, but she'll still have done what she did.
Right.
So if you want I don't think that.
Adam's point is right, and that's part of the problem, right? Because a lot of people are bringing up Ted Nugent. Now, if you've listened to the show, me in particular, I have destroyed Ted Nugent. And if I need to again, I'll do it right here. His comments are insulting. They are belittling. They are fake threatening. They are beneath normal human dignity. And then Trump invites Ted to the White House. Again, I am all for passionate, strong opinions. I am so bored by safe commentary. And I can't upset you. I can't give you your opinion. But Ted Nugent's comments go so far past it. Again, be a Republican. Be far right, whatever. But his comments of just a disgusting, belittling nature, they have been pointed out multiple times on this show. I think there is some hypocrisy by a lot of people involved in this decision. I want to get to Hillary next segment because I want to talk to Joe Biden here briefly because I'm so tired of Hillary blaming everyone else except the person she sees in the mirror every day. Joe Biden starting this pack, and it's leading to speculation on whether he is going to run in 2020. Now, he can start a pack for multiple reasons, Adam. Politics has been his life. Well, I think he was first elected in 72, right around there. Obviously ran for the presidency multiple times, came close last time. So he starts this political action committee. The most recent time he was asked about it, whether he'd run in 2020, he said, could I? Yes. Would I? Probably not. At the same event, he's talking about Hillary. I never thought she was a great candidate, he said. I thought I was a great candidate. He did note that he thought Hillary would have been a really good president. What's the temperature among Democrats 2 years from now for Uncle Joe to run, Gardner?
Well, my gut instinct says no, that they, you know, let's move on and find somebody else. But I'm just astonished every time we go through this how we see the same people again. And we just can't move on from other people.
Well, because I'm going to get to this when I talk Hillary in a little bit. If you told me yes or no, do I think she's going to run right now in 2020? I'm yes.
Yeah.
I'm yes. And I've been saying that for a while, and a lot of people scoffing. I don't think she's out of the mix. But, I mean, we could get Feel the Burn because he's running. And, by the way, he's not even a Democrat yet. We could get Joe, and we could get Hillary. And Donald would be saying, thank you very much. Thank you. This is my best chance. Fresh material. You did it with Barack Obama. You know, you can't just toss out the same people. And Biden is a great story, Kyle. But when he's run the other times, whether it's plagiarism or foot in mouth, he's viewed so favorably right now by the entire country. Go make some dough. Spend some time with your family. Don't put yourself in the mix. But it isn't. It's a borderline addiction. Power. I'm not kidding. Wait a second. I
don't think it's an addiction so much as it's been their job for so long that, well, I got to run for something else.
But don't you?
Otherwise, it's just retiring and going home. And
yeah, but he can make money.
No, I know that. But still, but it's your job. I mean, it's like would be like changing your career at that age.
It's different though if it's the presidency, right? That type of power, I'm just saying, is intoxicating.
He's 74 though. If I was 74 and could write a book and give some speeches and be retired, I would be so retired. But I'm sure
Donald's 70. What's Hillary? 69, right?
But I'm saying
Bernie's 75.
I don't think it's the need to run again. I go with the power. I think it's the power. I need to be my entire life I've wanted power. I want more power. Here's the ultimate power, and it's within my reach.
And he's thinking I would have won. Yeah, and we have no idea. We have no idea. Because, yes, he, in theory, because of his the way he has run, and I think he would have resonated better with white, disgruntled voters in some of the states where Hillary failed. But with Joe Biden, it's every other day there would have been another comment saying, what did he just say? And I got it. Donald gave it to us every single day.
Yeah, that's not an issue.
So I don't know.
I think Biden wins because I don't think he burns the Bernie bros. I think that he's better at accepting them into the party and bringing them back. I don't think he antagonizes the Republican bases to the extent that Hillary did.
No one does compared to Hillary.
Correct, right. So he doesn't drive people to the polls to vote for Donald and the anybody but Hillary. There wouldn't be the anybody but Biden fervor out there. And
those are all good points. And I want to pause so we don't get too far behind. He's such a wild card, though, on the various things that Joe Biden does, because you laid out a lot of good points there that are germane. I'm just saying with Joe, you're rolling the dice day after day after day. And maybe we just suspended that disbelief with Donald. Okay. Hillary, excuse after excuse after excuse. Stop. Enough. There's not going to be a recount. Give you some of the details when we come back. This appearance yesterday was going on near the end of our show. And I certainly understand when Secretary Clinton first started talking publicly that people wanted to hear more of her thoughts about Russia, about what happened. But Adam, she's now given this explanation multiple times. And that loss was agonizingly difficult. Most people thought she was going to win. But let's also be crystal clear about this, because a lot of the Trump apologists, facts sometimes get in the way. The national polls about nailed the race. very close, the national polls. The states, they were wrong. The key states they were wrong on. I mean, Florida was viewed pick 'em. You end up winning that significantly by a significantly larger margin. And then the big three. I mean, Pennsylvania, they totally blew. And Wisconsin and Michigan. So the national polls really were pretty darn accurate. And enough of she won 3 million more votes, Carter, with the general election. That wasn't the process. That wasn't it. That's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Stop bringing it up. So I understand it is so tough. And we've all had things happen in our life where it's very difficult to move past them. So then when you think you're this close, as we just were talking about the intoxication of power, this close to be the president, and you lose, and it's also pretty clear, Adam, that she thinks she lost to a buffoon, okay? So
do the rest of us.
Yeah. So she's with this event, and she's talking again about the Russians. The Russians could not have known how to best weaponize the information unless they were guided by Americans. She also added there, when she was talking about some of the criticism, there she goes, the vast right-wing conspiracy going back to decades ago when she made the comment on the Today Show. Now it's a vast Russian conspiracy, and it turns out we were right. We saw evidence. She talks about the private email server, the biggest nothing burger ever. What about that phrase, by the way, Carter? Biggest nothing burger ever. You going to pick that up in the vernacular?
I like it. Yeah.
It was a mistake. I said it was a mistake. And obviously, if I could turn the clock back, I would have done the first place. But the way it was used was very damaging. She also goes after Comey. Comey was more than happy to talk about my emails, but he wouldn't talk about the Russians. And among the stories I see on it is from CNN. Hillary Clinton's list of who to blame for the election gets longer and longer with every passing day. The one person missing from the list, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and goes over some of the points, right? The email situation. She made that decision. She made that arrogant decision, which was against State Department policy, with the server to potentially have vulnerability. Potentially. It was, again, to me, another example of the Clintons deciding the rules on to themselves. And her husband does the same. And again, I voted for her husband twice, but the rules apply to everybody else, but rarely does. The Goldman Sachs situation, how she ran against Bernie. I thought she ran a terrible general election campaign. How is she going to be different than Obama? It was just all about Trump. Trump was awful. Why keep driving this point at him? Why not say, I've moved on from the election, but let me be very specific where I disagree with the president? Or when she's asked about the Russian investigation, it's not a short answer, but I'm paying very close attention. I'll be very curious where Robert Mueller takes this. I'll be curious on James Comey, where the five or six other congressional investigations. But when it comes to her, Adam, and what happened in those states, she gives it lip service. She doesn't directly address it on the campaign. She acts like the private server was a nothing story. This isn't coming from somebody in me who's a right-wing person. I just told you I voted for Clinton twice. I voted for Obama twice. But she ran an atrocious campaign, and I still think with the Electoral College, Democrats have a significant advantage. And she ran against a candidate who gave her opportunity after opportunity. So don't run and hide. Be visible. Write the book. Make money if you want to. Be a part of it. If you want to run again, run again. I personally think that's a mistake. But Adam, other than her most ardent supporters, do they want to hear it? The only guy who wants to hear it is her opponent, who also, he can't get over the election either. Both of these, Donald doesn't tell us over and over again how many states he won, how impossible it was. He's handing out the little placards or whatever he's handing out at the White House showing how he pulled this off. What was it, November 8th? We're June 1st. Both of them. You're the president. Deal with those duties. And you're now an everyday citizen who's led a remarkable political life. You still have decades yet to live, hopefully, if you're healthy. Stop giving us the same information. Adam, if we get the final conclusion that Trump was involved, Flynn was involved, because they certainly are acting like something's going on. Again, no definitive proof yet, but day after day it gets worse. Again, there's no definitive proof, but I am so tired of her continuing to talk about it. What do you think?
I don't care what she thinks. I honestly don't. The only thing that concerns me about the 2016 election anymore is Russia. I don't care what her excuses are for losing. She lost. I could care less. I don't even know why we concern ourselves with going over what she thinks about it. I could care less. I could care less that Donald Trump keeps talking about it, too. You won, dude. Move on.
Yeah, both of them. Let's move on.
I could care less. I really don't.
I think they.
I don't care if she blames aliens for her loss. She lost.
Yeah.
Seriously, I do not care.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
And among
deal with what there are plenty of issues to concern ourselves right now.
Correct. And she can play a very active role with those issues. And somebody talking about Nate Silver. Nate Silver does say the cost her. Other people who are solid with numbers say the proof isn't as strong. And there are numbers that were changing. I agree, but there are other people. Who also are very credible, who don't buy it as much as Nate Silver. 33 past 1 on CCO. Dara comes up in a matter of moments.
And now it's time for some Twin Cities culinary talk with two foodies. One actually knows what they're talking about. The other just does it to be pretentious.
What is the soup du jour?
It's the soup of the day.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Bringing her expert opinion, it's Minneapolis St. Paul food critic, Dara.
Dara is here again because we'll get into a lot of what is taking place. The president's announcement regarding the Paris climate deal will carry a portion of what he has to say at the top of the 2 o'clock hour or when it starts, and a good guest on the same topic at about 2:35. Okay, we've covered this before. High-end places in town closing and what it means. So what does it mean in particular with this place at Surly?
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of morose about the whole thing. It's sad. It's disappointing. So the Brewer's Table, which was the fancy restaurant upstairs, they're shutting that down August 5th. That's kind of a new thing in the Twin Cities, these long closes, these long goodbyes.
Piccolo did that also.
Strip Club is still doing it. They're closing in July. You got another month to get in there.
So do they decide they'll get some buzz out of it, they'll make some money, so why not announce it to see if we can get either some of our old customers come back or get a last little bit of jolt?
I think it's actually a nice thing to do for the employees to give them time to get their affairs in order.
Yep.
I think that's really what this is. And then they're just basically letting go the main chef, Jorge Guzman, who was just nominated for a James Beard Award not 2 months ago. So he was in Food and Wine, a bunch of other national publications. I think Bon Appetit. Best beer pairing restaurant Minnesota has ever had.
Ever.
Surly opened, well, probably the country, frankly. And Surly opened with the stated goal of making the best beer pairing restaurant the country has ever had. Then they did it. Then people started to notice. Now they're just shutting it down. It's totally mysterious. And they're letting him go from the entire operation. So in the last year, not even 6 months, we've seen Surly part ways with the brewer that built the brand, Todd Hogg.
Right.
We've now seen them.
And that was kind of, aren't there still kind of uncertain details about why?
There's some darkness. There's some darkness, yes. Yep. No, there's no uncertainty as to why. the why is because they fired, Surly fired Hogg's wife, Linda, who is the one who imagined the new, you know, she sold her restaurant in Linden Hills to open Surly. She spent the year kind of developing the plans, making everything, figuring out all the operations and that. She was running it, and then they fired her. So then her husband started putting plans in place to take off himself. He left. Now they've gotten rid of Jorge, who, you know, invented the menu, invented the whole thing, did all that stuff. So they will keep all of the creativity and lose the creative, which is a, you know, cost savings. And that's what's happening. So it's,
now, the other part of the place is still booming, right? And they're still crowded. And
yeah, I think everybody assumed that because the whole operation, I mean, they're feeding a couple thousand people a day because it was such a moneymaker that, like, Jorge's job would remain and that they would continue to kind of subsidize the Brewer's Table as the prestige, you know, brand builder. But no, that is not what's happening.
Okay, so if somebody came to you right now and said, we have a great concept, we have money behind it, we've got a great chef, and it's going to be a fine dining place. It's going to be an upper-end place. And we think there's really a part of the market that is not being covered by this. Would you tell them don't? Just doesn't make sense. You're going to run into the same thing that's happened to the long list of places.
Is that person Warren Buffett? Like, how concerned is that person with the
so automatically, if you're going to start this, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll lose a lot of money to start, and there doesn't seem to be an appetite for it right now. I will say, Twin Cities food consumer feel like they've gotten a little spoiled. People do not like to go to the same restaurant twice. Somehow, they just keep. You know, they go and then they go to the new thing and the new thing and the new thing. And who goes to the restaurant they've already been to? Like, text in. I'd like to know. Are you a person that's gone to the same place twice? Like, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Culture has changed.
Well, I think the foodies don't. I think a lot of people still do.
Well, I mean, yeah, you go to.
Not to just the Perkins of the world, but I think there are a lot of people, if they like 112, they go to 112 a lot.
Yeah, well. That's a difficult thing to get into. Yeah. I mean, there are definitely people that return to their places, but I can't tell you the number of requests I get for new. That is what
sure.
I always
– I reach out to you for new.
Everybody wants new. So how do you keep fine dining go? You know, certainly it will be booming for the first 8 weeks. How do you keep it after that?
Yeah. Kyle's touting Buffalo Wild Wings over here. He's just
that's a place Adam Carter returns to weekly.
What was the big news story about there? They're trying to get him to sell off their lower performing locations.
Yeah, they got a stock battle. They
board
got,
meeting tomorrow.
Yeah,
big,
power broker battle going on. Okay, so what type of concept on the restaurant side would you recommend to open at this time here in the Twin Cities area? Or would you say don't? It's not worth it.
To make money or to just have fun? What is your goal? There's many reasons to open a restaurant. Build a national career?
No, make money. It's obvious. Make money, obviously, is a huge part of it. I mean, you're not opening a restaurant to lose money. But, I mean, you're opening up a place where you think it's going to be good, you're going to be proud of it, and you're going to make money.
I mean, people open cookie-cutter lousy restaurants all the time to make money. There's this kind of race to the bottom of cheap pizza right now. I'm sure you've seen that. Very fancy branded pizza that tastes terrible. There's a whole bunch of concepts kind of dotting around in the suburbs right now. I can't even remember them. They're all bad. So those are kind of cynical bids to make money. Pizza is always a good way to make money because it's cheap. The ingredients are cheap. I would say that for the right person, tacos are probably the way to go. Pajarito in St. Paul, I think that's, you know, they kind of honed that to be a moneymaker. Who doesn't like great tacos and margaritas, right? That's a smart concept. You know, Grand Cafe in South Minneapolis, they have opened with a kind of like an a la carte. I don't want to say a la carte. What's the word I want? It's fine dining elements, but you can just get little things. So you can get $4 foie gras stuffed egg, or you can get a $2, you know, this very fancy, it's hard to describe, like a savory cake, you know, little things like that.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you could spend $12 and get, you know, three little fine dining hits, glass of wine like that. So people are tinkering with fine dining, how to make that level of classy food, because a lot of chefs are in it to do cool stuff. Like, they don't want to just, you know, popcorn and put butter and salt on it. Like, that's not what they want to do.
So it was, I don't know, was it a month ago, 6 weeks ago or so, where the King of Wings was kind enough to drop off some food here that we enjoyed, Adam and I enjoyed. You've written about it. Tell folks about the King of Wings.
When I came in, I was so surprised. I was like, oh, I don't want anyone to scoop me on the story that I've been working on. All right, so this is such a good story. And old Minneapolis, gather around the radio. I want to tell you the tale that you probably know already. 1920, Leland Carriger was born. He came to the Twin Cities. I think he worked for Honeywell. And he had a dream of being the African-American Colonel Sanders. He had a really good chicken recipe.
Okay.
So he had this tuck-under garage, North Minneapolis, tricked it out with fryers and stuff. And he would get neighborhood kids, hire them, come. Everybody would, like, make chicken wings, and he would put them in these foil bags, load them into round coolers with, handles on top, and then drive all through the night. So this happened in the late 60s, I think, the 1970s, the 80s. So he would just go from bar to bar to bar. And so many of these places now are missing, right? So the Nacarima, that was a famous African-American club that I guess Prince's dad played in, and I couldn't figure out if Prince ever played there. Different Eagles clubs that are no longer around. The Foxtrap. I want anybody who's listening who has a Foxtrap anecdote to call in. The pictures look so amazing. It looks like Soul Train, just great polyester bell-bottom, like everybody's tricked out looking awesome. Rifle Sport was the arcade over there. He'd go there. So he would just drive through the whole city selling these wings. All right. So eventually he got a place in North Minneapolis. It was called the King of Wings. And he died, unfortunately, in 1993. One of those teenagers that worked for him, like, knew the spice recipe so well, loved Leland Carriger so much, wanted to carry on the King of Wings legacy. Got in touch with Leland Carriger's daughter, found the recipe, brought it up to speed again, and now he's selling it. And so it's like we have so little left from North Minneapolis, from the old North Minneapolis in terms of food.
Right.
In terms of –
And I got to tell you this. When he brought the wings in, they were fantastic.
They were. They're really good.
Really good.
And it's a Minnesota style. So you don't have them with barbecue sauce.
Yep,
you don't have them with hot sauce.
Yep.
You just have this – You fry them, you coat them with butter, and then you put the sauce on, the spice blend on them, put them in a foil bag, and they kind of steam in there. Oh, gosh. So I put the story up on my Facebook page. It has blown up. I mean, people are just reaching out. Everyone remembers these wings. I'm getting these lovely stories about how.
So where do you get them, though?
Well, now you can just basically get the spice blend. You can get the wings at Bunny's. So either the Bunny's in St. Louis Park or the one in Northeast. And you can also get them at the VFW on 28th and Lindale, that VFW over there.
Yeah.
And then otherwise you can buy the spice. And
okay.
There's a place called the Solo Grocery, a couple little places. But it's such a great, the taste is gone, and now the taste is back. We have this taste of North Minneapolis.
That's a good story. 1:50, that is your Lindis Construction time check. Time to install the last roof you'll ever need with GAF asphalt shingles. So the Macy's location, we talked about this months ago when the decision came out, and you were passionate about this here on the show, and you wrote about it, the idea of a food hall. That has been suggested now in one of the ideas. Tell people how you envision a food hall if it is a part of what happens with the former Dayton's, Macy's, whatever you want to call it.
This would be literally the greatest thing that ever happened in my life besides my children. Like this, that if this could happen. So we would.
Wow. And depending upon how the kids act a certain day, maybe this is even a little higher on the list.
They might enjoy a food hall. We could go. We'd be like, Mommy had a good idea once. See?
Yeah.
I proved it. So it's got, that building is so enormous. It's got millions of square feet. So you would put restaurants and patio seating and all kinds of fun beer hall, maybe, things on the first floor for people to mingle, bring some life to Nicollet Mall. And remember, there's going to be a trolley coming through there eventually. All right, so upper level.
This, of course, presupposes that Nicollet Mall actually gets done at some point.
I walked on the sidewalk on Nicollet Mall today. I almost just took a picture of the concrete and tweeted it, but then I thought, I'm going crazy.
When you get to 11th and 12th, that part is done, right?
That is done. And no, I walked on the sidewalk in front of the IDS today.
Oh.
A stack of Bibles. I swear to it, I did. I walked. I didn't even know what to do with myself. So the
tweet Betsy on that one. She'll be pleased.
Well, there's, you know, it was a very, none of the other sidewalks are done, and you couldn't go in the street. But there was just a little.
Just a tiny.
Just take anything. Just, you know, just one square of concrete for me to stand on. That's all I ask for, Betsy, please. All right. So the idea would be then above that, business incubators, different things. So places to buy salsa and commercial kitchens. And so if you have an idea, like, I want to have a hot sauce company, you could go there. Maybe use the commercial kitchens, sell from that space, like a retail farmer's market, maybe on the weekends or something, and, you know, then carry your hot sauce out the door, get on the light rail, and bring it up central, down Nicollet.
Considering the size of that building, how big it is, does this strike you as the type of concept where financially they can make quite a bit of money on this?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to know about retail today is that it has to be a destination, right? People go to the Mall of America to see other people and walk around and do that kind of stuff. We have to make a destination. You know how exciting the state fair is, the beer hall there? People go nuts. They're like, oh, I can try these beers from around the states. Why can't we do that in February? Why can't we go somewhere and experience more and other people and have it, you know, a destination? Why can't we go somewhere downtown? Where is there to go?
And the idea that another name brand department store is going to come in there and take over? That's not happening.
No, department stores are kind of over, right? Yeah. Everybody just gets stuff on Amazon.
There's a store today, and we got 20 seconds here, projecting that over the next decade or so, maybe a little further, that 20% plus of shopping malls are going to shut down because of Amazon. Okay, what do you got coming Saturday?
Oh, South's Best Butts. I have a barbecue expert who wrote a book that is called The South's Best Butts. We're going to talk about smoking pork and doing summer stuff.
Fantastic. Dara, normally 2:35, kind enough today. Check out the show Saturday at 11 a.m.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.